Imagine hiring like a highly recommended security guard, right? You give them the keys to your entire house, and then you find out the agency that trained them actually programmed them to just rob you blind.
Yeah, which is terrifying.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't blame yourself for trusting the uniform, but you'd suddenly feel incredibly vulnerable. And, well, on April 12th, 2026, the digital world basically woke up to realize their most trusted security guards were doing exactly that.
They absolutely were. The landscape just fundamentally shifted that day. And, we're looking at a source digest from that specific 24-hour window for this deep dive. And it is, I mean, it's a masterclass in how modern infrastructure actually breaks.
Yeah, it really wasn't just a series of isolated events, was it?
No, not at all. We saw major supply chain breaches, zero-day vulnerabilities, and massive fundamental shifts in how artificial intelligence is deployed, and they all just crashed together at once.
And the mission for our deep dive today is to untangle that chaotic collision. Because whether you're, a sysadmin managing a corporate network or a gamer downloading a simple PC monitoring tool to check your graphics card temperatures, or really just someone opening a PDF invoice for work.
Which is everyone.
Exactly. Everyone. The events of this single day prove that security is no longer just an IT problem. It is a baseline survival necessity for you, the listener. We basically have to rethink how we interact with our own computers.
We do. And I think the thread connecting all the source material today is the weaponization of trust. I mean, attackers are completely bypassing the reinforced front doors now.
Right, they aren't even trying the front door.
No, they are slipping in through the very tools and the vendors that we are conditioned to blindly trust every single day.
Let's get right into the mechanics of that, actually, because the CPUID supply chain attack illustrates this perfectly. So, CPUID is the developer behind CPU-Z and HW Monitor.
Right, very popular tools.
Super popular. These are foundational tools. Millions of people use them to monitor their PC hardware. But for a 6-hour window between April 9th and 10th, if you click download on their totally legitimate official website, you were handed a remote access Trojan called STX.
And the underlying mechanism here is really what makes this so dangerous. The attackers didn't breach the main web servers hosting the CPUID website at all.
Wait, they didn't.
No, they didn't. Instead, they compromised a secondary API.
Hmm.
So essentially, the digital plumbing that handles the routing of files behind the scenes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so by hijacking that specific piece of plumbing, they seamlessly redirected the download links. The user clicked a button on the real website, but that button silently pulled the file from a malicious domain hosted on Cloudflare infrastructure.
So the user has zero visual indicators that anything is wrong. I mean, the URL in their browser is correct.
Exactly.
And the really terrifying part is how the malware was actually packaged. The sources mention a technique called DLL side loading. Let me just break this down to see if I have the mechanism right using that security guard analogy.
Go for it.
So it's essentially like the executable file the user downloads, the installer is perfectly safe. It has a valid digital certificate. It is wearing the authentic security guard uniform. Windows looks at it and says, "Yep, you're approved."
That is the exact vulnerability, yeah.
Operating systems rely entirely on those digital certificates to verify authenticity, but an executable file rarely runs entirely on its own, right?
Right, it needs other files.
Exactly. It looks for sidekick files, dynamic link libraries, or DLLs to perform specific functions.
Okay, so the attackers left the safe executable completely intact, but they swapped out its trusted sidekick for a malicious file, which was named CryptiBase in this case.
Yep.
So when the user double-clicks the installer, the legitimate program unknowingly pulls the malicious DLL right into the computer's memory. And because the primary file wearing the uniform is verified, the antivirus software just waves the entire process right on through.
It doesn't even look at the sidekick.
That is wild. It doesn't look at the sidekick at all.
Nope. And once it bypasses the antivirus, that STX Trojan is devastating. It establishes encrypted command and control communications. It begins recording keystrokes, capturing screenshots, siphoning files.
It just takes over.
It does. And it even monitors its own environment. So if it detects that a cybersecurity researcher is trying to run it inside a sandbox or a virtual machine to study it, it actually suppresses its own malicious behavior so it appears entirely benign.
It plays dead. That is incredibly sophisticated. And to make matters worse, on that exact same day, Adobe released an emergency patch for Acrobat Reader.
Oh, yes. CVE 2026-34621.
Right.
Now, the digest notes this had an 8.6 CVSS score. And for anyone not living and breathing cybersecurity, the Comment Vulnerability Scoring System is how the industry ranks the severity of a threat.
Right.
And an 8.6 is essentially the cybersecurity equivalent of like a Category 5 hurricane warning. It was a remote code execution flaw, and it was actively being exploited in the wild.
Yeah, and a remote code execution, or RCE, means the attacker can run literally whatever commands they want on your machine from across the globe.
Just from opening a PDF.
Exactly. I mean, we tend to think of PDFs as static digital paper, right? Mm-hmm. But they are incredibly complex files. They can contain embedded scripts and multimedia frameworks.
Right. They do a lot more than just display text.
Yeah. So the attackers figured out a way to format a malicious PDF so that the moment Acrobat Reader tried to render it, it triggered a memory corruption flaw, giving the attacker a direct backdoor into the system. So if the digital certificate system can be bypassed by DLL sideloading, and a standard PDF invoice can trigger a remote takeover just by opening it. I mean, the idea of staying safe online just feels completely broken. How does a normal person actually defend against this?
Well, the Digest mentions zero trust architecture for corporations.
Right, but how does that translate to an individual, you or me?
It translates into a fundamental shift in daily digital habits. You just have to assume the environment is inherently hostile.
Wow, okay.
Zero trust for an individual doesn't mean manually verifying the cryptographic hash of every single file you download. I mean, no normal person is going to do that.
No, nobody has time for that.
Exactly. It means isolating your risks. So, for example, instead of downloading a PDF and opening it locally on your machine with Adobe, you open it in a restricted cloud viewer, like Google Drive.
Oh, I see. So if the file is malicious, it executes on Google's isolated cloud servers, not your local hard drive.
Precisely. It means using strict application sandboxing, where a program is physically prevented from accessing your core system files, regardless of what its digital certificate says.
That makes a lot of sense. But, you know, if individuals are this vulnerable to compromised trust, the implications for megacorporations are just staggering.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think companies spending tens of millions on cybersecurity would be immune to this, but they are falling victim to the exact same dynamic, just scaled up.
Absolutely. They aren't getting hacked directly. Their trusted vendors are basically handing over the keys.
Yeah, the supply chain is really only as strong as its weakest link. And we saw this perfectly illustrated with the Rockstar Games situation.
Oh man, the panic around that was palpable.
The headlines were absolute chaos. Mm. The hacker group Shiny Hunters issued a massive ransom demand to Rockstar regarding Grand Theft Auto 6. And they put a hard deadline of April 14th, 2026 on the table.
Right.
The gaming community completely melted down. Everyone assumed the entire game was about to leak.
Well, Shiny Hunters has a massive reputation for exploiting cloud systems and stealing authentication tokens. They don't usually bluff.
True.
Their ransom note was very explicit about causing catastrophic digital disruption if the demands weren't met.
But I dug into the actual postmortem in the sources, and the reality is completely different from the headlines. Rockstar's actual servers, their code repositories, their game assets, none of it was ever touched.
No.
The hackers actually breached a third-party analytics company called AnnoDot. So AnnoDot is a software as a service vendor that does cloud monitoring, and they just happened to have a connection into Rockstar's Snowflake data warehouses.
We should probably clarify what Snowflake is because it is the linchpin here.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Snowflake is a massive cloud-based data storage platform. Major enterprises pool all of their operational data there so they can run complex analytics on.
Got it.
And AnnoDot had an authentication token that gave them access to Rockstar's specific vault within Snowflake so they could, you know, generate monitoring reports.
Mm-hmm. So the hackers compromised AnnoDot, stole that specific authentication token, and used AnnoDot's trusted status to just walk right into Rockstar's data vault.
Exactly.
But again, I have to push back on the severity of the panic this caused. Because they didn't find the GTA 6 source code or the story scripts in that specific Snowflake instance.
No, they didn't.
They only found immaterial internal business metrics. I mean, it is like a team of bank robbers spending months digging a sophisticated tunnel into a high security vault, only to break through the floor and realize they tunneled into the janitor's closet instead of the gold reserve.
That's a great analogy. They definitely missed the crown jewels this time.
Right.
However, dismissing it just because they only got business metrics ignores the catastrophic structural failure it represents. Rockstar spent a fortune building a fortress around their intellectual property.
Oh, for sure.
But that fortress is completely undermined if a third-party analytics vendor leaves a digital back door wide open. They got into the building.
That's a fair point.
If that authentication token had possessed slightly different read-write permissions within Snowflake, Shiny Hunters could have deleted entire databases or corrupted the production pipelines. The fact that they leveraged a vendor to bypass the primary perimeter entirely proves that the modern enterprise network essentially has no perimeter anymore.
Man, think about how terrifying that Rockstar breach is.
Yeah.
Now, multiply that vulnerability by a million. Because if third-party SaaS vendors are the weakest link, what happens when we start giving autonomous AI agents the keys to interact with those exact same vendors on our behalf?
Yeah, that's where things get really crazy.
We aren't just extending the attack surface, we are automating the targets. And that is exactly what the AI industry pivoted toward on this very same day.
The transition from an answer engine to an action engine. It is the most significant leap in artificial intelligence since the initial rollout of large language models.
And the numbers in the digest for Perplexity AI are just staggering. They didn't just grow, they exploded. They hit over $450 million in annual recurring revenue by March 2026.
Which was a 50% jump in a single month.
In 1 month. And it wasn't because their chatbot suddenly got better at summarizing Wikipedia articles.
No.
It was driven entirely by the launch of their new autonomous agent, which they simply named Computer.
Yeah, and Computer fundamentally changes the relationship between the user and the web.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional AI retrieves information for you.
Right. You ask a question, it gives you text.
Exactly. But this agent executes tasks. It is designed to navigate the document object model, so the underlying code structure of a website, exactly like a human would.
Oh, wow.
It visually parses the layout. It clicks specific buttons. It inputs credit card data. And it interacts with third-party APIs. You can tell it to log into your airline account, find the cheapest flight to Chicago for next Tuesday, book the window seat, and pay for it.
That is incredible. And they implemented a hybrid usage-based pricing model for this, charging power users for compute-heavy actions, and the market clearly just loves it.
Absolutely.
But let's connect this back to those fragile security ecosystems we were just talking about. If my new AI coworker is autonomously navigating the web, handling my sensitive data, and downloading files, isn't that a massive liability?
Oh, it's a huge liability.
Like, what happens when computers are instructed to download a diagnostic tool and it hits that compromised CPUI API? Or what if it autonomously processes a batch of invoices and opens an Adobe PDF armed with that 8.6 CVSS remote code execution flaw?
You have just identified the absolute friction point of the next decade of technology.
Really?
Yes. The industry has achieved brilliant product market fit with these autonomous agents, but the guardrails do not exist yet. As these agents move from being novelties to essential utilities, the defining challenge has become trust, safety, and liability.
Right, because who is at fault?
Exactly. If an AI agent triggers a remote code exploit that compromises a corporate network because it was doing exactly what you asked it to do, who's legally responsible?
Is it the user who gave the prompt?
Or is it Perplexity for building the agent?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Adobe for having the vulnerability? The attack surface isn't just expanding. It is moving at machine speed without human oversight.
That is a terrifying thought. And because these AI action engines are so powerful, so lucrative, and potentially so vulnerable, the massive tech companies building them are aggressively changing their strategies to protect the core technology.
They have to.
And that brings us to the shockwave Meta sent through the industry.
Yes. The launch of MuSpark. Internally, this was known as Project Avocado, and it represents a complete philosophical 180-degree turn for Meta's AI division.
It really does. I mean, for years, Meta was the loudest champion of open-source artificial intelligence. They released their Llama models for free, letting researchers and developers download the actual weights and architectures to build upon.
Right. It was a huge boon for the community.
But MuSpark is entirely closed-source. It is a total walled garden. They didn't publish the code. They didn't share the training data. Nothing.
And the leadership change behind this is critical context here. MuSpark was spearheaded by Alexander Wang, the former CEO of Scale AI.
Which Meta acquired for, what, $14.3 billion in 2025?
Yep, $14.3 billion. And Scale AI specialized in data labeling and fine-tuning models based on human feedback. Wang took over Meta Superintelligence Labs and immediately recognized that giving away the foundational architecture just no longer made strategic sense.
And the consumer reaction totally validated the pivot. I mean, the Meta AI app rocketed from rank 57 to rank 5 in the U.S. App Store in under 24 hours.
People clearly wanted to use it.
Especially since Meta announced they are natively embedding it into WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook, and the Ray-Ban smart glasses. But, you know, I have a hard time seeing this as anything other than a calculated bait and switch. Well, Meta spent years evangelizing open source to build community goodwill and commoditize the AI market when they were behind. Now that they have a model they believe can directly rival OpenAI and Anthropic, they're suddenly locking the doors and trapping billions of users in a proprietary ecosystem where they control all the monetization. Isn't that incredibly hypocritical?
I get why it looks that way, but calling it hypocritical misses the underlying economic mechanics. You have to look at the data flywheel they're trying to build.
Okay, walk me through that.
So, open source Llama was fantastic for disrupting competitors, but it doesn't pay the massive server costs required for inference at scale. By keeping MuseSpark closed and embedding it directly into WhatsApp and Instagram, Meta isn't just protecting their code, they're creating a massive proprietary feedback loop.
Oh, because of all the user interaction.
Exactly. Every single time a user asks the AI a question inside a WhatsApp chat, that interaction trains and refines their closed system. OpenAI simply cannot access that localized real-time messaging data because they don't own the underlying platform.
Wow. So the distribution advantage of owning the apps themselves makes the closed source model infinitely more valuable than open source goodwill.
Precisely. And there is also a massive regulatory component to this.
Right, the liability issues we talked about earlier.
Yeah. As AI agents become capable of taking autonomous action, like we discussed with Perplexity, governments are cracking down on liability. If an open source model is downloaded, stripped of its safety guardrails, and used to generate malicious code or execute cyber attacks, the regulatory blowback on the creator is immense.
That makes total sense. A closed system gives Meta plausible deniability and total control over the safety parameters.
It does.
So we have vulnerable software ecosystems where trusted APIs and vendors are regularly hijacked, and we now have incredibly powerful closed-off AI models that are executing tasks autonomously. What happens when the platforms themselves realize they are outgunned?
Let's start using that same AI to build an invisible shield.
Which is exactly what the final piece of source material reveals. The Valve leak perfectly illustrates how companies are weaponizing AI for defense.
It really is a fascinating pivot.
Yeah, so a data miner named Gabe Follower found strings of code hidden in a recent Steam update exposing a secret internal project called SteamGPT. And to be clear, this is not a friendly chatbot designed to recommend indie games to players.
No, far from it. SteamGPT is an autonomous administrative engine. It is designed to instantly handle customer support tickets, process complex refund routing, and most crucially, fundamentally upgrade VACnet, which is the anti-cheat system running underneath Counter-Strike 2.
And the mechanism of how this anti-cheat works is just fascinating. Traditional cybersecurity, including older anti-cheat software, basically operates on signatures.
Right, it scans your computer's memory looking for a specific, known line of malicious code.
Just like the antivirus looking for a bad digital certificate from our earlier example.
Exactly the same concept.
But SteamGPT ignores the files entirely and focuses exclusively on telemetry and behavior.
Yeah, it looks at the physics of how you play the game.
Yeah.
It analyzes millions of micro movements, your mouse acceleration, your reaction times down to the millisecond, how your crosshair snaps to a target.
That is insane.
It is. And then it cross-references those physical behaviors against a massive database of known human limitations.
It is essentially an omnipresent casino pit boss. Like, a human pit boss can only watch one card table at a time, looking for subtle signs that someone is counting cards. SteamGPT is a pit boss that never sleeps, watches every single table simultaneously, and instantly recognizes behavioral anomalies that static code scanners completely miss.
That is spot on. And the reason Valve kept this entirely secret is a brilliant tactical move.
Why is that?
Because secrecy is the only way to prevent counter-training.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, if key developers understand exactly what behavioral thresholds the AI is looking for, say a specific mouse acceleration curve, they will simply train their own malicious AI to smooth out those curves. They will program their cheats to mimic normal human play just enough to slide under the AI's radar. It is an adversarial game of cat and mouse.
The sheer scale of this is why AI is becoming mandatory for platform management. You cannot physically hire enough human beings to manually review the mouse telemetry of millions of simultaneous players.
No, it's impossible.
Just like you can't hire enough security analysts to manually review every single PDF flowing through an enterprise network, AI is the only tool that actually scales to the size of the modern threat landscape.
It fundamentally changes the economics of defense. Automation is no longer a luxury, it is the baseline requirement to keep the platform functioning.
Pulling all of these threads together, April 12, 2026, really stands out as a definitive turning point. I mean, it proves, without a shadow of a doubt, that the cybersecurity race and the artificial intelligence race have completely merged.
They're entirely intertwined now.
You cannot discuss one without the other anymore. Attackers are finding incredibly clever ways to exploit the supply chains we trust, slipping through secondary APIs and third-party analytics vendors. At the exact same time, AI is evolving from a novelty into the core utility of the internet.
Right.
We are handing it the keys to take autonomous action in our daily lives, and massive platforms are deploying it as an invisible shield to defend those fragile ecosystems.
It is a closed loop of automation. The weapons and the shields are now built from the exact same underlying technology.
So, what does this mean for you as you navigate this digital landscape? You have to practice constant vigilance.
Absolutely.
Do not just trust the digital uniform because a file says it is officially signed. Assume the system is already compromised. Use restricted cloud environments instead of downloading random PDFs. Keep your software patched immediately and be deeply skeptical of any third-party vendor asking for access to your data.
Right, because right now, simply trusting the system to protect you is the biggest vulnerability of all.
Couldn't agree more.
And, you know, looking at this trajectory leaves us with a truly unsettling thought to consider.
What's that?
Well, if we are rapidly approaching a world where consumer AI agents like Perplexity's computer are acting autonomously on the web, and AI defense grids like Valve's SteamGPT are autonomously policing the networks.
Yeah.
How long until we see AI agents actively hacking other AI defense systems?
Wow.
We are dangerously close to a reality where humans are cut out of the cyber warfare loop entirely.
It's like a burglar with a master key fighting a lock that can constantly change its own shape.
A war moving at the speed of code.
And that is where we will leave it for today. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the forces shaping our digital reality. We will see you next time.